So good to be with everyone this morning. I hope everyone hopefully enjoyed a shorter week and had a great Easter weekend. We had a pretty good week until about 3:30 yesterday when had the emergency trip to the ER room. Camden, under my watch, might I add, walked off some stairs and went into the ER room. She's all good, but I think being in there for 2 hours is enough to waver even the strongest faith, I think. But we got through it. Anyway, today we're starting a new series called Lessons From. And it's not so much a new series, it's a series that we did last year. And I actually thought it was a really powerful series, so I thought, hey, why not do it again? And the big idea behind this series is this book that we teach and preach from each week, the Bible. It's got so many stories of everyday people like you and me who walked the earth trying to follow God. And within these stories, there's so many lessons we can learn about their lives. We can learn good lessons. We can learn bad lessons. And it's been said that life experience is the best teacher. But wisdom would tell us we are wise to learn from other people's life experience instead of trying to learn everything ourselves. So we're going to be spending these next 4 weeks just looking at different characters of the Bible, looking at their stories, and figuring out what we can learn together as a community. So our key scripture that kind of directs this series is Romans 15:4, which says this: "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." So all of these past stories, God has ordained that this collection of books would find its way in our hands, that it might teach us, that it might encourage us, that it might cause us to endure, and ultimately that we might have hope. And so each week we're going to be selecting a different biblical character and just looking at their lives. And so the first one we're going to be looking at is the character of Jonah. So today's message is Lessons from Jonah. But I'm just going to pause and pray. So if you'd like to join with me this morning. Lord, we thank you for the words in this book. Lord, we thank you that they are God-breathed, that they're inspired by your Spirit, Lord, and they give life. We pray that these words that were penned years ago would form us this morning, that your Spirit would bring them alive to us, and we might find ourselves in this story. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, lessons from Jonah. So, interestingly, we're going to be looking at the book of Jonah. But before I get to getting into the book, I just want to bring a bit of context. So the book is set in about 760 BC. At this time, the kingdom of Israel is split in two. We have a northern kingdom, which is called the kingdom of Israel. We have a southern kingdom, which is called the kingdom of Judah. And Jonah is a prophet that has come out of the northern kingdom of Israel. During this time, Israel is under a king called King Jeroboam II, and it's a time of prosperity in the nation. They're at peace, but this king is evil, so that prosperity is not going to last. The major world superpower at that time is the Assyrian Empire. At that time, it would have been the largest world empire that the world has ever seen. And the Assyrian Empire was known for their evil, really, for their violence. They kept their empire intact through fear, through terror, and through harshness to anyone that would rise up against them. What they did to their enemies was evil, it was barbaric, it was inhumane. I did a bit of research on Google, and I couldn't share the types of things that they did. And so God sends this prophet Jonah to go to Nineveh, this capital city of this evil empire, and say, hey, you guys need to repent or else God's judgment is coming. And so that's the context of the book. Does that all make sense this morning? Cool. So I am going to be reading word for word, line from line. Chapter 1 says this: "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish." So Nineveh was in the east, Tarshish was in the west. So Jonah literally does the exact opposite that God says. So maybe some of us find ourselves in that story. just kidding. he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went abroad and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God and threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Uh-oh. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" They're interrogating him. He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. So just to recap where we've been, the Lord has come to this prophet Jonah, and he said, "Go to this great city and preach to them, telling them to repent, otherwise destruction is on the way." Instead of obeying, Jonah goes, does the exact opposite, goes west, jumps on a ship, and looks to flee. There's a massive storm, and all hell is breaking loose on the ship, and the sailors are thinking, "What's going on?" And they discover it's because of Jonah. They reluctantly throw him overboard, and the seas calm, and with this, these pagan sailors actually begin to worship the Lord, the God of Israel. But the story doesn't end there, so we're going to keep on reading in chapter 2. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. He probably didn't smell too good. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very hearts of the sea, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountain I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I will shout with, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So Jonah has been thrown overboard. The Lord sends a massive fish. The fish swallows up Jonah. While he's in the heart of the fish, he repents. He cries out to God. He says, "God, I'm sorry. I'm turning back to you. I will do what I have vowed, and I will declare salvation comes from the Lord." The Lord speaks to the fish, and the fish is vomited onto dry land. And the story continues. We're following along. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. So God comes back to Jonah and asks him to do the exact same thing he failed to do before. Jonah rights the wrong this time and he goes to Nineveh. And interestingly, I think we can find ourselves in the story that sometimes when we disobey God or when we don't do what he says, he'll bring us back to that exact same position and give us the chance to redeem what we did wrong the last time. Jonah does what was right. And then it says, now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. It was only a 5-word sermon, but it was very effective. The Ninevites believed God, a fast was proclaimed, and all of them from the greatest to the least put on sackcloth. So sackcloth was a way in those cultures of showing that they were repenting, that they were mourning, that they were humbling themselves, that they were sad and grieved over their sin and they were humbling themselves. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth and sat down in the dust. So he had the same response. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. So Jonah's received the same commission. He's gone into Nineveh. He's preached the word. And these Ninevites humbly, gently accept this word. They repent, they mourn, they turn from their evil ways. And God, as he loves to do, pours out his grace and his mercy and his kindness. And he relents from what they deserve and grants them forgiveness. And so with this, we enter the final chapter of the book, and this is where everything kind of comes to a climax. So tune in. This is what the scripture says. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. How could God be merciful to these evil, barbaric people? This is unjust. This is not fair. They deserve to be punished and smited. He's angry at God. He prayed to the Lord, Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. He reveals why he ran in the first place. He's like, God, I know your character. I know that you're so full of mercy. I know that you're so quick to extend kindness and grace. And I know that if I go and preach repentance to these evil enemies, you just might forgive them. And so I'm going to run and go the other way because I don't think they're worthy of your grace. I don't think they're worthy of your forgiveness. They are too far off limits. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry, Jonah? That's a good question. Is it right for you to be angry that I'm showing mercy to your enemies? Is it right for you to be angry that I'm showing grace to your enemies? Is it right for you to stand as judge on these people that I am judge of? You know, the Lord could ask us the exact same question when we hold judgment against people who we feel don't deserve his grace. Is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry that I've shown grace to that person? Is it right for you to hold judgment? Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. He's probably there hoping it would just go poof, blow up. Maybe some popcorn. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. So Nineveh was in the Middle East. It was hot. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. I hope he wasn't bald. He wanted to die again and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" He asked Jonah another question. "Is it right, Jonah, for you to be angry about this plant that's withered away?" "It is," he said, probably very sunburned. "And I'm so angry, I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" And the story ends like that, with an unanswered question. And I believe what God is trying to say to Jonah is saying, "Jonah, you're angry, you're up in arms, you're upset about a plant that you had for one day. How much more am I grieved and am I upset, does my heart break for these 120,000 children of mine who have lost their way?" I believe he's trying to show Jonah how much he cares for people regardless of what they might be doing. And so through this book, I believe God is wanting to show us a few things. He's wanting us to understand the radical, incomprehensible depths of his mercy and his grace and his kindness that go far beyond our human understanding. The book is asking each of us the question, are you okay that God loves your enemies? Are you okay that God loves those people that betrayed you, that backstabbed you, that undermine you, that belittle you, that bully you, that make your life a living hell? Are you okay that God loves them and he wants to give mercy to them and he wants to give grace to them and he wants to forgive them? You know, it might be hard for us to grasp in the context that we live in what actually the degree of an enemy, but it would be like God coming to an Israelite after the terrorist attacks on October and saying, "I want you to go and preach to the Hamas militants and say, repent, and God wants to extend his mercy." The human side wouldn't want to do it, but God's grace is so much more. The story reminds us that we are not to stand in the place of judge. We are not to hold contempt. We are not to withhold mercy or grace from any of God's children. And the scripture reminds us that lost people are the most important thing to God. And it should cause us to reflect, do we give more weight to the temporal trees or plants in our lives like Jonah had than seeing lost people saved? You know, our car breaks down. We're up in arms. We're angry. Why did this happen, God? We have a leak in the house. We're up in arms. We're angry. Do you know those things are so much smaller than the lost people in our community that have no hope? Do our hearts break to that same degree? Or is it the temporal things that cause us to enrage? It's a good question to think about. The scripture challenges us to reflect on these things. Just invite the keys up. And just as we come to a close, I have some questions for us to reflect on. Three questions, and I encourage you to ponder these and chew over these and perhaps talk about them around the table at lunch or at dinner in your small group. First question, am I okay that God loves my enemies and wants to show his mercy to them? Think about that. That person that treated you so unfairly, that person that betrayed your trust, that person that you just struggle to live with. Am I okay in my heart of hearts that God actually loves them just as much as he loves me, and he wants to give them mercy? He wants to give them grace. Second question, do I judge or withhold mercy and grace from others? Like Jonah, do I kind of put people distant from God's grace? Do I find myself in that place? And the third question is seeing lost people saved more important to me than the temporal possessions I have? Does my heart break more for the people in our community that don't know God? Or does it break more for when the economy's not doing well, or when I have a flat tire, or when I have a bill I didn't expect? What really grieves us? Good questions to think about.